perception of a level, on the celestial level, at the finest level of where pure consciousness begins to resonate with tonality. And for the first time, after using this mantra for 30 years, saw how it was actually supposed to be perceived. And when I did, and then used it, it became this spontaneously running vehicle that just ran on its own. Once it was introduced, there was effortlessness to it, like it was supposed to be. But that without the tonality, it had never been quite so effortless, because it has this tone. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. The first note's higher, and it's three syllables. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Now, when I give this mantra, and when you hear this mantra, and you hear the tonality of it, you'll find that as you use it with the tonality, it may take on its own tonality and take on its own dimension and shape and form. And you let it run. Don't try to control it. Let it be your vehicle. And it may change in how it's in its tone, its speed, its how the volume of it, as it were, in your mind. None of that matters, except that it should be effortless and automatic and just flow. Except your consciousness is just very gently centered on it. Now, when I say gently, it isn't like we're taught in the West to concentrate. You know, you're studying for something, you're overly focused. This is sort of an intent, a light focusing. And if you find yourself distracted because you've heard a sound, or you start thinking about dinner, or you start thinking about some task you have to do, or what have you, or your body is uncomfortable how you're sitting, whatever it is, you acknowledge that without pushing it out and becoming upset or agitated, and return to dun, 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 and let it run. And then if you find yourself distracted again, you just keep returning to it, but not in a way that is forceful, in a way that's gentle. This is a very gentle, integrative process, as opposed to an overly concentrated process. And it's in the gentleness of it allowing, of it being allowed to run on almost an automatic, spontaneous level, and the mind just settling on it in that state, that it carries you more deeply and more deeply and more deeply and more deeply and more deeply into this deep silence. And you may at some point find that it has delivered you into the nothingness of the absolute pure bliss of mind itself. And there's nothing there except the fullness of consciousness. In this sense, it's a very Zen explanation would be, if you subtract all your perceptions, right now you're hearing my voice, you may be thinking of other things on channel 2 in your mind, or feeling things or perceptions, but begin to subtract all that and see that perhaps you're now just having this mantra. Dun dun dun, dun dun dun, dun dun dun, dun dun dun. And as it is going and flowing, you find that all that is left is awareness itself and the mantra. And then even the mantra itself may dissipate, and you are now just pure mind itself. That's samadhi. And it is from there that if you can return to that state effortlessly, not through force, not through sheer brutality of will, this is not how this happens. It's a very gentle, peaceful process. Then you can return and stay there with a light intent. And then emerging from the plane of the absolute field of consciousness, become able to function at that deep level of consciousness, where now time and space is no barrier, and you can see the rings of Saturn. You can go to the deep places in space. You can travel to any place on Earth and see. You can gaze into the future or see what happened in the past. You can go to the level of what's called Rittambhara Pragya, which is in the structure of consciousness itself. The storehouse of all knowledge is there. Everything that has happened, everything that will happen, everything that can be known is encoded, enfolded within structure, within every single being, within every single person, in fact, within every single rock, in every place. And you can go there to this site, to this place, and know anything you need to know. That is called Rittambhara Pragya. For short, we just say Rittam. Its corollary, in terms of what has happened already, has been called the Akashic Record, where encoded within any point in space, for example, here at this spot, is encoded in the fabric of space-time, but at the conscious level, everything that's ever been said or happened at this point in space. And you can sit there and you can go back a day, a month, a year, a decade, a century, a millennium, an eon. And that's true of any point in space-time. And it can be unfolded to you and you can know. Classified projects have actually developed electronic systems to do this, but they're highly classified. It's called the white noise of space-time that they extract information from. But in our consciousness, in the structure of the mind itself, this is fully present and open to anyone who opens their inner sight at this level of deep consciousness. So the process in meditation is to, in this mantra meditation, or any other technique that you may choose to use, it really doesn't matter what you're using, is that it should intend to deliver you to the place of the placeless, as it were, to this absolute field of quiet, calm, peaceful being. And it's so beautiful because it's so calm and so peaceful and so beautiful. And once you are able to stay in that state of peace, you find that as you are accustomed to that, it becomes more and more spontaneous to return. It's like if you have driven to somebody's home for the first time, where there are a lot of turns in getting there. And the first time you go, it seems somewhat laborious. The second time, oh yes, I kind of know the way. The 100th time, you're not even thinking. You can be, you're just automatically can find that, go. And the power of meditating regularly, you know, every day, a few times a day, if you take a retreat to spend quite a few hours a day doing it, is that it opens up that path through the wilderness of our own mind and self to easily find that quiet, centered, calm place. That then, while you're in the waking state, driving down the road or at work, you can still be in that state and be in touch with that deep aspect of conscious mind and bring it to the forefront and operate from the plane of the absolute even while you're in the waking state or in the dream state. That's the state of cosmic awareness, where the unbounded mind and the non-local aspect of consciousness is operating even while you're doing things in the waking state or dreaming state or sleeping state. It's just there. Eventually this evolves to where you're able to be functioning at a fine level of consciousness that's in the finest relative expression, where you then can perceive the celestial, the fine energy forces, where you can see the celestial realm, or the energy within things, or know things that are not visible to the normal objective ways of knowing through study, but by the direct perception of mind. And it's more than just a hunch and intuition. It becomes, you know it, because you're now a seer and a knower. And that's what evolves. And eventually, at the finest level, where you perceive, if you will, that most great light of the finest celestial shining around us and in all things, that's been called God consciousness. And you can actually see the express form of the creator being, the Godhead, manifesting. And if you pierce the veil of light and the finest celestial, and you then begin to sense that everything is that absolute, unbounded, awake mind, that's the early stages of unity consciousness, pure unity consciousness. And then once you enter into a state where the entire cosmic being and the mind whereby you are awake are one, as it's operating through galactic awareness and all the levels and dimensions of the cosmos, you get into Brahman consciousness. And what I've just described is only one of the four chambers of the heart. And as one mystic once said, the rest would be recounted if a kindred soul be found. But that's enough for us to contemplate right now. The reality is that there's no end in the progression to what each individual can experience. But it begins with the understanding, very simply, of who we are beyond just our identity as an individual. That within our individuality is this universal field of pure consciousness. And within that, all realms, all dimensions, all places, all times are enfolded. And this is why the mystic expression from the Sufi tradition, it's a rhetorical question. Thinkest thyself a puny form when within thee the universe is folded? So within each person, each being, this planet or any other, is folded, the totality of the cosmos. It is a conscious quantum hologram. And if you understand what a hologram is, you know, if you had a hologram of a tree right here, if you took one leaf from it and went into it, there'd be the entirety of the tree in that. And then one part of that, it'd be the totality within that. So there's the completeness within every level. And here's an interesting observation. Every point in space and time is intimately integrated and present at every other point in space and time through the nexus of this pure conscious mind. And that's why linear space and linear time is no barrier. Once you get to this level of awareness and understand the nature of the mind whereby you're hearing my words right now, the awareness, the conscious mind whereby you are hearing these words is that awake being. So people say, where am I going to find it? You just have. You don't have to go anywhere. There's nowhere to go. And you never had to go anywhere. And you never will. But you have to sit quietly, do nothing, and allow it to be perceived. And this is what actualization means. This is what the realization is. It's not that you are having to go somewhere to find it. It's actually being realized by the silencing of all the usual mental flotsam and noise that keeps us focused narrowly only on one point in space and time. Now, as this experience